can't thank you enough for the privilege of being allowed into your presence. And as we sit in your presence for a moment, stand in your presence for a moment, the weight of this world just falls off. Lord, as the song says, we almost wish we could be here every moment of the day. But the truth is that we can. So Lord, would you help us as we open our eyes and look at the world around us again, to do that from the place of your presence always. As we turn to your word, we ask that you'd open our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and speak to each individual to help them to hear what you want them to hear. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You're welcome to have a seat. Good to see you. Okay, let's try this side. Good to see you. Okay, I'm going to preach to this side. You guys can watch the live stream later. Okay, so it's always a bit of a challenge if you announce this is the word for the year and this is the... But I do believe that God has laid something on my heart, and I do want to share that with you, and I do want to encourage you to hear what God is saying to and apply that to your life. This has probably been stirring in my heart, I don't know, for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't know, maybe a little bit longer when I first saw this. As a bit of an introduction, I'm going to do my best not to go into teacher mode. That's unfortunately my default position, but I'm going to try not to do that. And I'm not going to give you six steps or seven reasons or anything like that. The purpose of this morning is slightly different. The purpose of this morning is for you to take a hold of something in your spirit. And yes, will you need to work it out? Yes, is there some things that we need to put in place? Yes, and as we progress in the year and as we start our next theme next Sunday, I think some of those steps will fall into place. But for now, the idea is, and the prayer of my heart is that God would just speak something in your spirit, and that this word would become alive in your spirit, and that from that place you would trust him for the working out of that. There's a well-known story that I think all of us knows. It's the woman with the issue of blood. And it's a fascinating story because it shows something. So we all know this woman had the issue of blood. I think it was for 12 years. No doctors could heal her. Nothing could help. And then she heard about Jesus coming through town. And we all know the story that she walks up to the back of Jesus, grabs a hold of his cloak, bottom of his dress, his pants, his suit jacket, and she gets healed. And the strange thing is, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And then his disciple says, "Jesus, what's wrong with you? There's people all around you. Everyone is pushing against you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Now, everyone around him touched him, but only one person touched him. And so often we can hear something, or we can listen to a message, or we can read the Bible, or we can be in a time of worship, and we can be like all of those people just gathering around Jesus, bumping into him. We are touching him, but we are not touching him. You see, that one woman placed a demand on Jesus. She said, "If only I will touch him, only I can reach out and touch even the hem of his garment, I will be healed." She had an expectation. She understood who Jesus was, what Jesus was able to do, and she placed a demand on that. And because of that, it says she is the only one who touched Jesus. Now, this is true in any service across the world at any given time, whether you're in a cell group, when you were attending a course, no matter what you are doing, if you recognize what Jesus is doing, you can be like that woman. You can step out and you can touch and grab a hold of that. Say, but I want to make that mine. And that's my prayer for you, that as we, yes, we're going to do some teaching, but as we go through that, that something will stir in your heart and you will say, but I want to grab a hold of that. I don't want to be like everyone else, bumping against Jesus, sitting in the pews, coming to church, dropping my church as children's church, getting the WhatsApps. I don't want to bump against Jesus. I want to place a demand on that which He promises He is able to do. So a passage of Scripture that I love is in Luke 4, 28 to 29. It says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove Him out of town, and took Him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw Him off the cliff. But He walked right through the crowd and went on His way. So let's try and color this in. I'm going to try and ask you to use your imagination for a moment. So we don't know how many people there were. Let's say there were 30 people in the synagogue. And 30 people got furious and upset, and they grabbed one man. Try to imagine what that must have sounded like. Maybe there was one guy who stood up and shouted first, Jesus, you're talking nonsense. We don't want to hear that anymore. And then two or three other guys stood up. And then one of the young men said, let's throw him off the cliff. And everyone shouted, yes, let's do that. And they grabbed him somewhere in town. And they walked him all the way to the edge of the cliff. Must have taken time. Try to imagine the sounds as the rest of the town was coming out to see what was happening. Maybe some of them joined in, not even knowing why they were there, but they were following the scene. Maybe there were some smells. Maybe there were some guys who just got off their fishing boats the nights before, and they still smelled of fish. Maybe there were some spice traders who went to synagogue that morning. And as they walked into the synagogue, and as they marched Jesus off, they smelled like the spices that they were selling. It definitely was some dust in the air. You could smell the dust. As 30 or 40 or 50 people took this man and they marched him to the edge of the cliff, angry and upset, yelling. Then he says, Jesus walked right through the crowd and went on His way. I've never understood this scripture. I love it for that reason. How do you stand at the edge of the cliff with a mob of 30 or 40 or how many people, angry, upset, dust everywhere? Jesus simply turns around and He walks away. I believe God is saying, it's time to walk right through. It's time to walk right through. And I'm going to trust in this year that this word would fall in our spirits and that in this year we would say, but we can walk right through. No matter what's happening around us, no matter how angry they are, no matter how they smell, how much dust there is, how angry they are, but that we can walk right through it. You see, Jesus walked right through it. Now, here's the interesting thing. As we were reading last year, I encouraged you, I hope you did that, as you were reading through the Gospels towards the end of the year, when I got to the book of John specifically, it hit me for the first time that that account in Luke is not the only time this happened. I'm going to quickly take you through it because I need you to see it. As I understand it, there are at least 8 separate occasions, different stories, not the same story repeated. My understanding, you can go read it for yourself. 8 different times where Jesus simply walked right through. It says in Mark 3:21, when His family heard about what was happening, they tried to take Him away. He's out of His mind, they said. And sometimes, unfortunately, the space where we have to walk through it is often those closest to us. When his family heard what Jesus was doing and saying, they said, "He's crazy. He's lost his mind. Let's go and fetch him." And he walked right through. Mark 12, verse 12. It says, the religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus because they realized that he was telling the story against them. He was teaching a parable. And then they realized that he was aiming this at them. He was pointing out the error in their ways. They were the wicked farmers, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. They made the decision, we're going to arrest him because he's talking against us. Nothing happened. It fell on deaf ears. Jesus walked right through. John 7, and this is the part that I was reading when I saw this for the first time maybe. It said, then the leaders tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. You see, that's the key. The reason why Jesus could have walked away from that cliff is because that's not the way Jesus was supposed to die. He was supposed to die on a cross, to fulfill all of the prophecies spoken about him, so that he could bear our sin upon him and that we can be free. John 7, a couple of verses later, it says, when the Pharisees heard that the crowds were whispering such things, they and the leading priests sent the temple guard to arrest Jesus. A couple of verses later, the temple guard arrives. Some even wanted him arrested, but no one laid a hand on him. When the temple guard returned without having arrested Jesus, the leading priest and the Pharisees demanded, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "We have never heard anyone speak like this," the guards responded. Again, that doesn't really make sense. These are hardened men. They are soldiers. They will not be afraid to kill you if they have to. And suddenly, they hear someone saying some nice words and they are persuaded not to arrest him. See, it's not that they didn't want to arrest him. It was that it was not Jesus' time. And Jesus walked right through. John 8. And at that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid from them and left the temple. Again, we read it, but just think about this for a moment. How does Jesus hide? He's probably the most well-known person in that temple. Everyone knows who he is. How does he hide? How does he get away? Jesus walked right through. John 10:31. Once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. Nothing happens. 10:39, once again they tried to arrest him, but he got away and he left them. Jesus walked right through. So we have some other stories. Daniel walked right through. We know these stories well. So we know that Daniel is a God-fearing man. He prays three times a day, and he's fellow workers, his co-workers, devise a plot and a scheme to get rid of him. And they go to the king and they say to the king, "Won't you issue this decree for the next, I think, 30 days, if I remember correctly. No one is allowed to pray to anyone else but to you, the king." It says when Daniel heard about this decree, he went to his home. He opened the window. And he prayed to God. They saw him praying. They arrested him. He gets thrown into the den of lions. So early in the morning, the king runs to the lion's den. And he says, when he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, who you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouth, so that they would not hurt me, for I was found innocent. Daniel walked right through a den of lions. Our three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Different king, different time. King builds a statue, 90 feet, I think it's 27 meters tall. When the music plays, everyone has to bow down and worship this statue, which is the image of this king. And our three friends refuse to do that. So we know that they get another chance. The king gets upset with them, and he throws them into the fire. In fact, it says that the people, that the soldiers who were throwing these three men into the fire, they got scorched, they got burned. And he ordered some of the strong men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and they threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a couple of verses later, stepped out of the fire. They stepped right through a fire. And then the high officer, the officials, the governors, and the advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed. And their clothing was not scorched. They did not even smell of smoke. They walked right through the fire. So it's interesting if you look at these two kings. The king in Daniel's case did not want to throw Daniel into the lion's den. He actually, it says, he waited until the evening to try and find a way out. But there was a rule that said that if a law had been decreed, it cannot be changed. It stood forever. So he had no way out. He was tricked by the fellow co-workers of Daniel. And sometimes people are friendly, but the system seems to be against us. But we can walk right through that system. In Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego case, slightly different. The king got angry. So he gave them one more chance to bow down and to worship the statue he made. When you hear the music, musicians playing, instruments playing. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Listen to these words. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Sometimes the things we have to walk through is a friendly system, but the system is against us. Sometimes it's a coworker. Sometimes it's our family members. But sometimes it's someone who's really out to get us, who wants to grind us like this king, who looks us in the face and says, your God cannot rescue you from this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responds, we know it so well, those famous words, our God is able. And even if he's not able, we will not bow to you. They refuse. And they say, we will walk right through this with our God. Paul walked right through it. So just after Paul's conversion, everyone is skeptical of him. Is he trying to infiltrate the church to find out where we live so he can arrest us? There's a lot of upheaval in town, and there's some people who plotted to kill him. This is just after his conversion. They were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Paul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall, and he walked right through it. If we look at Scripture, we see time and time again how God delivers his people, how he is able to rescue, to bring us through, no matter what the circumstance. But if we look at Paul, we see something different. And I think in Paul's life, we have a lot more detail of his life. So Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, we only see sort of glimpses of their lives. We see only see these big moments. If we look at Paul, we see that there are moments when he's truly suffering. there are moments where other things happen to Paul. So we read later towards the end of the book of Acts, says one of the prophets came over to Paul, took his belt, and bound his own feet and hands with it, and then said to him, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles." Speaking of Paul being captured, when he sets his foot in Jerusalem, he will later go into house arrest. He will appear before great leaders and he will testify about Jesus. But in this case, Paul knows that it's not the time to walk right through it. But in this case, it's the time to walk right into it. And it says, when they heard it, the people there with Paul, he says, "We and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, 'Why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed in Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus.'" So there's a little bit of a flip side to walking right through it. So the question is, can I walk through it? Is it just for Daniel? Is it just for Paul in the beginning of his last ministry? Not towards the end? Is it just for Jesus? Is it just for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or can I walk right through it? See, there's a key. And that key is in James 1, verse 5 to 7. The part before that talks about what? Being joyful when we face trials. That's the context. He's talking about that. He's talking about the thing that we need to either walk through or walk right into. He says, if you need wisdom, if you need to know which one it is, just ask God. God, is this the moment where I need to walk right through it? Or is this the moment where I need to surrender to your will in this case? Ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Ask for wisdom and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, because when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So if you missed last week's message, you're not going to get this reference. So go listen to last week's message. This is a person who is stuck in first gear. They are stuck in the mental exercise of thinking about God and wrestling with their thoughts around God. And when you're stuck there, you will not receive anything. But you've got to come in faith. You've got to believe that God will answer you and he will give you wisdom to understand what is the context of this specific trial. Now, here's the thing that I need to say carefully. This is going to sound very strange. You see, we need to take up our cross daily. Jesus took up his cross daily. But here's the catch. He was only crucified once. The rest of the times, he walked right through it. You get that? The same with Paul. Whether he was shipwrecked, or whether he was beaten, or whether he was stoned, he walked right through it. Until the moment that he knew, this is no longer the time to walk through it, it's the time to walk into it, because this is the purpose of God for my life. You go and read Acts chapter 9. I've forgotten his name now, but God calls a believer to go to the house to pray for Saul, to have the scales fall off his eyes. He says, "I need you to go to him, tell him that he must go to the Gentiles and share the message of God with him. And I need to tell him how much he will need to suffer for the sake of the gospel." That was Paul's calling. And you and I, friends, need to ask God only one thing. God, is this a moment where we need to walk right through it? We will take up our cross, we will bear our cross, but we will walk right through it. Or is this the moment where we need to be crucified? Like Paul, going to be arrested. Now here's the thing that I need to say carefully, because I don't know your context. And in my disclaimer in the beginning, I said, I'm not going to teach you a principle that you can apply. I want you to grab a hold of something in your spirit. And you need to grab a hold of that. You need to figure out where you are. I cannot do that for you. But I want to venture and say the following. That for the majority of us, for the majority of the times, we are supposed to pick up our cross, carry it daily, and walk right through it. Whether it's your family, whether it's a co-worker, whether it is the system that is against you, whether it is a person that is seriously upset and angry and wants to destroy your life and looks you in the face and says, not even your God can rescue you. I believe for the majority of those times, the Word of God for us is walk right through it. And if you continue to ask God, God, give me wisdom. God, show me, where am I now? He will continue to do that. And here's the thing. If it is a moment that you need to be crucified, guess what? If you've been in a relationship with God, if you've been having this conversation with Him over a period of years, God, is this a moment to walk right through, or is it a moment to walk into it to be crucified? Guess what? You will know before the time, because God will speak to you. You see, Paul was not surprised when the prophet came to him and said, you're going to be bound, you're going to be taken to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested, and eventually you will die there. He was not surprised because he knew that. He was willing to say, yes, I will walk into that. All the other times, it was similar to with Jesus. They wanted to stone him, but they could not because his time had not yet come. They wanted to throw him off a cliff, but they couldn't. They wanted to arrest him, but they couldn't because his time had not yet come. Friends, I want to strongly, strongly say to you that you can walk right through. Look at a couple of verses. Worship team, you guys can join us on stage. Isaiah 43 and verse 16. I am the Lord who opened the way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. It refers to Jesus opening the Red Sea. If you are familiar with the song Waymaker, this is the verse for Waymaker. He says, I am the one who makes a way. I am a way maker. Here's the interesting thing. This is who God is. God is a waymaker. God is someone who opens the door so that we can walk right through it. It's who He is. Daniel 3:25. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. You see, when we have to go into the fire, there is a promise that He will be with us. We've just come out of the Christmas season where more often than not we will hear the word or the name for God, Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. So you don't have to walk through the fire alone. God is with you and He will walk with you through the fire. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. You will walk right through because He is with you. John 10 verse 9. Jesus says, yes, I am the gate. Jesus says, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and they will go freely and they will find good pasture. you want to walk right through it, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. If we walk through Him, we can walk right through it. I want to qualify. I said I'm not going to teach, but I felt just to say one thing. Walking through temptation. The other things, I'm going to trust that God will speak to you. One specific one, walking through temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptation in your life is no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He will show you, look what it says, the way to walk right through it. He will show you the way out so that you can endure. You see, no matter what the enemy throws at us in this year, we have the ability to walk right through it because God is with us. Because that is who God is. Because Jesus Himself is the gate through we walk in and out to find pasture. I ask that you close your eyes for a moment. I know some of your stories. But even for those who I know some of your stories, I don't know the full extent of your story. In fact, you don't even know the full extent of your story, but God knows. In this moment, I want to ask you to venture out in faith. Like that woman with the issue of blood, reach out and grab a hold of Jesus. He is the gate. He is the door. Say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom to understand this thing that I'm facing. Should I walk right through it? Or is this something that you have ordained for me and I need to stay in that space? There were more moments that Jesus walked right through it than there were moments that He was crucified. Is it possible that figuratively, yes, you need to be crucified? Yes, it is. But it's much more likely that God is calling you to say, you can walk right through this. You've identified something. If God has been speaking something in your heart, a certain context, a certain area, a certain person, a certain battle that you need to walk through. If God has been speaking to you and you want to figuratively say, I want to grab hold of His garment, you want to stand with me. And we're going to pray and then we're going to ask the worship team to close the service for us. Jesus, we grab a hold of you because we know that you are able. Oh, that circumstance, that situation that is screaming at our face. Which God, whose God, what God will be able to save you? And in the midst of that, we want to stand up. We want to look at the giant, Goliath, who screams, no God can defeat us. Who are you, you small boy? Father, I pray that through the power of only that which you can do, that you would deposit fresh strength and energy, fresh faith and hope to the life of each person standing. pray that you would infuse them, Lord, with this truth. That they are able to walk right through. God, you know each circumstance. You know each context. You know each detail. And the wonder is that you are able to orchestrate everything to work it for the good for those who love you. God, we pray that you would supernaturally strengthen and enable people to walk right through it. Pray for those who are not currently facing a situation like this. Pray, Lord, that this word would simmer in our hearts. That as we journey through this year, we need it, you would remind us through the Holy Spirit of this word, that we can walk right through it. I'm going to ask the worship team to help us and just lead us in that last song. The first song that we started with. It says it's a song that we are free to live, free to give. We are free. Don't you want everyone to stand with us? And then afterwards, you are welcome to join us for a cup of coffee.